So, I was sitting there just then, and it just before I start preaching, I was taken back in my spirit to when I was a young woman, which was a fair while ago. Seeing as my son is 26, it's a fair while ago. And I remember being in Sunday night meetings in the youth group I was in my church in Brisbane, Queensland, Australia. And there was like 700 young adults there on a Sunday night touching God. And I had encounters in the presence of the Lord as a young woman that were phenomenal moments in the presence of God that set me up for life. And I just feel in my spirit that these Sunday nights are going to become those moments where we encounter Jesus again. When we encounter the power of God, when we connect with the Holy Spirit in a way that sets us up for life. And I know that those moments that I spent with God, and goodness gracious, they were like 1982. Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah, 1982, I was 16 in 1982. And in those years, just in the presence of God, in church Sunday morning, in church Sunday night. And do you know what? When you pursue God, what happens is you find him. And when you place yourself under the presence and in the presence of the Spirit of God, God comes along and touches your life and changes you. When you cry out, he hears you. So well done on being in the presence of God. Do you know what? If people actually realized how their lives could be radically revolutionized in God's presence, they would be lining up to be in this place. Amen. So I'm believing for these young adults nights that young people are just absolutely turned around by the power of God, that they walk in that place and they encounter the King of Kings. Do you know, I don't want to play church. Anybody with me? We're not playing this game. We want God, the King of Heaven, to radically move in our lives and in our city and in our friends' lives. So anyway, on to the message. Do you know the hardest thing to do when you're on the platform is to start? Right, let's go. Okay. So last year we moved into a new house and we were moving out of our old house, and I realized that I couldn't actually see in the back of my cupboards in the bedroom. Because you know, like when things are really high. And there are all sorts of things festering up there in the back of those cupboards. And I remember being with Hayley, and we were sort of up the top and trying to get stuff out of the cupboards. And there were all sorts of things up there. And some amazing things we discovered in the back of the cupboardage. And so I found instruments of torture that I better rephrase that better. I found things that I used after my second hip replacement. For those of you that don't know me, I am the bionic woman. I have two artificial hips. After the second hip replacement. And so in the back of that cupboard, we found a picker-upper. So the picker-upper is a tool because you're not allowed to your body to go more than 90 degrees for all of those doing medicine and doctors and stuff. For 6 weeks, can't move your body beyond 90 degrees or you dislocate the hip. Good idea to listen to that one. So you have a picker-upper, and ostensibly you're told that the picker-upper is for picking things up off the floor so you don't have to bend over, but really it's for pulling your undies up. So, yeah, shut up, Jen. So that was festering up in the back of the cupboard, and then also up in the back of the cupboard, and we had a ceremonial burning or a chucking of all these things because I don't intend, well, I don't have any more hips to replace, to be fair, so I won't be back. And the other thing that was up in the back of that cupboard was a leg picker-upper. Now, the leg picker-upper is because they cut right through your muscle, right? So you can't actually lift your leg because the muscles slip. So you have this tool, Beth's looking at me like, what? I'm going somewhere. There is a point to this message. And so, so you have, it's like a lasso, right? And you go, whoosh, and then you lift your leg, shoop, and put it into the bed. So all these things were festering in the back of my cupboard, and so we had a ceremonial burning. But I've said that to say, and this is the tenuous link, that there are things festering in the back of our cupboards of our lives that we wonder how we can reach. And there are things in our lives that go on in our worlds and we're not quite sure how to get up, to step up, to get hold of these things, to get them out of our lives. Now, I bought a handy thing recently. It's called a footstool. So now I have this thing and it unfolds. It's from Dunelm's Finest. And I step onto it and I can reach into the top of my cupboards. It's a footstool. But we wonder, God, how do I step up to get hold of these things in my life that I want to deal with, but I don't quite know how to deal with them? And so we are told that maybe if we listen to one more Stephen Furtick message, or we watch T.D. Jakes flick his hanky one more time, I'm being real here. Maybe we'll touch the presence of God and somehow we'll have a footstool to step up on to touch God. Maybe if we listen to Bethel music one more time in the car instead of Led Zeppelin or no, not, what's it? Johnny Legend. I see, I'm up with the kids. Maybe it's the message from the prophet. Maybe if Pastor Jen comes and prophesies over me, that will be the footstool up for my life. Maybe if I put a pick me sign on my head on a Sunday and the pastor will come up and give me the appropriate sympathy. I mean, we all think it. You know, like when Phil Pringle's around, I'm like, pick me, pick me. Oh, and he did. And he did. Yeah, that's another story. And so we wonder what the right equipment it is to get hold of what we want to get hold of and get rid of in our lives. And sometimes we feel in our lives that there are things we're incapable of seeing, that the future and the way forward is beyond our reach. And we don't realize the tool for seeing and the ability to grasp what we need is actually already in our hands. We think there is a magic situation out there that will propel us. But God is instead creating the perfect storm around you right now. And what you are experiencing lies within it the potential to carve out the unreachable for you. So if you are in a perfect storm right now, you don't need T.D. Jakes to get you out of it. What God is creating around your life is actually your footstool. And we find ourselves in life making the enemies of the things that are around us. The enemy of busyness, financial constraint, relationship breakdown, loneliness, grief, pain, lack of sleep, ill health. And we sense that everything is out of our control and that God is not moving anything. And then I read a verse. And I read the verse from Psalm 110, verse 1 to 2. It says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. So everything that is circling and encircling your life today, God intends it for good because he wants to turn that very thing to be the thing that causes you to get hold of your future and what you want in your heart. Now, if you're me, yeah, that's great. Firstly, if you're anything like me, you're not very good at sitting while you're waiting for something to happen. And Dave always says to me, he says, Jen, when you're at home, would you turn your leadership button off, please? Because I like everything under control. And when God doesn't seem to move on my behalf, I become the choleric leader solver of the universe. I line everything up. I lie in bed and construct in my mind a coping mechanism. Anybody with me? I lie in there and I construct a plan. A coping scenario. I lie in bed and I write a must-do list and a grand action plan. And I don't like a too hard basket and I don't like unsolved problems. I like my ducks ducketing. And I don't want scraggly ducks. I want attractive ducks lined up, looking beautiful. That's what I want in my life. Anybody with me? But most of the time, my ducks look emaciated, couple of wings missing, and all over the pond. Most of the time. And I don't particularly like me. I don't like myself in the midst of this. Because I turn into controlzilla. And I'm talking to you. Don't look at me as if you don't do this. I turn into controlzilla and I have a personality change. And my coping mechanism is control. My response is like, I'm jumping around. I'm going to make it right. Actually, my family laugh at me because when I'm in an airport, David, my son mocks me ruthlessly for this whenever I'm with him. And he lives in Australia, so I only get mocked 3 times a year. But when I get into an airport, I become very choleric because I have an Australian passport and I want to beat all the Chinese students that are in the other passports line to get in. So I move. And I become very choleric. And Leah Chilengwe, who's travelling with me to Holland next weekend, I'm sorry, Leah, I'll leave you behind. You can go in the nice people line. I'll go in the other passports people. Like I said this morning, and if I don't get back in with my passport I'm collecting tomorrow, Lois has just agreed to be senior pastor. Now, either we respond by being the super choleric control freak, or the other way we respond to these things in our life is we become the ostrich. And we just duck our head in the sand and pretend nobody can see our tail sticking up in the air. This is what we do in these situations. But God says, sit until I make. And every time I turn into a choleric zilla, God takes me back to one of my life scriptures, which is Isaiah 30. And it says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. And then it says, but you would have none of it. It says, you said, no, we will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. That's such a good verse, isn't it? Because I feel then if my pursuers are going to be swift, I better sit down. I better sit and trust and let God. I don't want any more pursuers than I already have, so I better sit. But then the punchline from heaven comes, and it says, until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Now, a footstool, as I've already illustrated, is something you stand on to reach for something that was previously out of reach. And your current situation, do you know when I'm preaching up here, and you know how Pastor Colin gets up every Sunday and just floats across the stage and preaches with no notes? I can't do that. I'm not that person. Because I write good stuff here that needs to be said. Your current situation, the thing that you see as your enemy, may just be your footstool. The grief that you are experiencing may just be your servant, may just be your footstool. You don't need a ladder up. You just need a footstool. You just need a footstool. And you need to step on the back of what you thought would break you. Did you hear me? You need to step on the back. The very thing that threatens to break you is actually your footstool to get a hold of the unreachable. The very thing that you thought might carve you in half is a setup by heaven for you to step on it and reach the unreachable, to touch the heights of faith and the knowledge of God like you've never known in your life. It's a setup. It's an absolute setup by God. And then Psalm 110 verse 2 says, the Lord will extend his mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. And I've been around long enough in life. I am 51 years old, and that's the moment when you got to say, no. Yep. I'm 51 years old, and I have lived long enough to know that life involves life. A lot of stuff happens between birth and death, and there are a lot of enemies to rule over. Or let's put it in context, there are a lot of footstools to step on. There are a lot of moments that we live through that are our step to get hold of what we've actually wanted to take in our hands. If you realize why the enemy is there, it gives you the bravery to reach. Do you know, I remember when we just moved house, I stepped up onto a chair. And I forget that I have two artificial hips until I'm doing things like this. And then I'm standing on the chair and I fell off the chair. And I sprained my ankle. My hips were fine. Let me just say that Haley and Dave were in the house. And I screamed. Haley came running. Dave just completely ignored the scream. Because he just thinks she'll be right. She always is. And he was right. I was right. But sometimes when we step up on stuff and we fall, we don't have enough trust to step up again. And I'm here to say to you tonight, it is time again to step up on the footstools of your enemy, because God wants to carve out for your life a bigger future. To step on the enemy is to accept that you can't move the impossible. You are scuppered unless you can the attitude, can the wrestling, can the striving, and decide in your heart, right, the enemy is here and it's real, but I'm stepping on it and it's not stepping on me. Amen? I'm stepping on it and it's not stepping on me. Do I read in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we read the story of Elijah up against the king of Edom. And I'm just going to read to you this story. And this story is all about seeing and about blindness. Two different things, about seeing and about blindness. There was a young lady I met in the toilet before with amazing eyeliner. Where is she? You know who you are. Eyeliner girl. She's got amazing eyeliner. I was asking for tips. And the reason it looks so good on her is she's got an amazing face and it's a lot younger than mine. But God spoke to me about you as I walked out of the bathroom. See, sometimes it's worthwhile being near the prophet. And I was thinking about the accuracy that you had that on your face, because I'm that shallow. I was thinking about it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me about you, that you are going to have accuracy in your work. And you're going to have an accuracy in your study. And you've been worrying about your accuracy with how, I don't know what this means, but accuracy about how you're going to phrase that or do that. And you've thought to yourself, I'm not accurate enough to make it happen. But as you put pen to paper, or these days, fingernails to an iPad, as you put your fingernails, God's going to give you an accuracy. And you are not to worry about the accuracy. I don't know what that's about, but I believe it's for you in Jesus' name. And keep up the eyeliner. It's sensational. So I was reading this story about Elijah, about seeing, and it says he was being chased, and they were after Elijah. And so they said, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. And the report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answers. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elijah prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. And as the enemy came down towards them, Elijah prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elijah had asked. And Elijah told them, this is not the road. Follow me and I'll lead you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to the Samaria. And after they entered the city, Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they can see. Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were, captured. It strikes me that it's all about what we see. It's all about what we see. Firstly, it was very clear that Elijah saw the reality. He saw that he was surrounded by an army of impossibility. That was clear. It's silly not to recognize what you're surrounded by. But then before God moved the clear opposition away, he called for the servant to see what was actually going on and to see with his spiritual eyes the truth. To look at a situation through truly natural vision is to deny God's supernatural involvement with your life. You've got to look through your Christian X-ray eyes. And you've got to see tonight with your spirit. And I'm going to pray tonight that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would be able to see that those who are for us are more than those who are against us. There is an army for us. Even in the darkest moments of our lives, I'm hurrying, God is working all things together for good. Even in the most impossible circumstances, he who began a good work in you is carrying it on until completion. God completes what he starts. And he continues today by opening our eyes to see his total involvement and total commitment. And once God had opened the servant's eyes to the incredible supernatural element of God's provision, he then went about blinding the opposition. God's all about seeing. He made them see that they were scuppered. Your enemies are scuppered today. They are a footstool. Isaiah 42, verse 16. Can I have the band back, please? I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Step A, the blind are blind. Let's think about it. It says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Well, they were blind, so how could he lead the blind? That's the miraculous thing about God, that he leads us into the unknown through spiritual vision that nobody else realizes we have. And even like tonight as we give our first fruits offering, for some of us it's blind. But God leads us into the unknown through spiritual vision. You've got to see with the eyes of your spirit before you see the natural victory. You've got to realize the blindness you have can be tempered by the opening of your eyes to see. God is at work. You've got to realize that your moment of terror that you're experiencing right now is a setup from God for God to bring about incredible victory. He is not finished. Today is a day, will you stand with me right now? For deliberately stepping on the footstool of impossibility and realizing that what the enemy meant for evil, God intends for good. God intended it for you because he wants you to reach the unreachable. He wants you to touch the untouchable. And he wants that footstool to be your propellant into a bigger future. Step up, don't refuse the God setup and go round the mountain again. I know there's a lot of impossibility around. And there's a lot of stuff that we're not quite sure what to do with it. Do we curse it? Do we dance around it? Do we hallelujah on it? Do we get TD over to speak to it? Or do we just step on it? And we say, I don't even mind if you don't move because you're not speaking to me. Even if that enemy does not move tomorrow, I don't care because I know that he who began a good work in me will carry it on until completion. I know that he is involved with my life. I know he will not let me go. You have a footstool in your life tonight. For some of us, it's a footstool of pain and grief. But it's a footstool. And for some of you tonight, we're just going to, in a moment, we're just going to be real quick tonight. We're going to come to the front and we're going to say, I am no longer going to allow the enemies of my life to speak to me. I'm determined tonight. They're going to be my footstool. What before was the thing that would contain you, may it become your propellant. I'm excited. I have been through a season in the last 18 months that I felt like I've been walking through treacle in Wellington boots. But it's given me a message. And God wants to cause me to reach to something I've never touched before. I'm believing that God in my life is, through all of this, that God's going to give me the power in my hands to see incredible healings. I'm believing for it. I want to touch stuff I've not touched before. I want people to touch God like they've never touched before. So what we're going to do, we're going to be quick. We're going to respond to God. We've got 2 minutes and 50 seconds. Come right down here right now. If you want tonight to say, do you know what? That's it. Tonight, come on, quick. This is my moment. I'm making my footstool. Everything that's been trying to speak to me tonight, it's going to be my footstool. It's going to make your enemies your footstool. There's propellant and promotion and favor that wants to come your way, and it lies tonight on the other side of your decision. Push right on forward to let everybody come out. You don't realize how powerful this is tonight. This is life-changing for you. All right, let's begin to worship. Let's worship right now.